Happy Sabbath again. And again, I say it is a beautiful Sabbath morning, but it doesn't make any difference whether the sun is shining or whether it is raining or whether it is storming or what it is doing outside. If it is Sabbath, it is a beautiful day, and we rejoice in that day. Before I begin, I must say that I am indebted to Ron and Karen Flowers for the idea for the message that I'm going to present today. And you will become better acquainted with them as we go through this Sabbath school lesson, because they are the editors of the Sabbath school lesson for this particular board. May we pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this precious opportunity and privilege that you've given to me. And I ask that you let me be surrendered and submitted to you so that I, this weak vessel, can be used by you to present what you have given to me. And we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit, that he will be leading and guiding, and he will open spiritual eyes and spiritual ears so that what you have said to me may be a blessing to those who will hear. And to you be all of the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Question. At the beginning of this new year, is there a situation that you are familiar with where reconciliation is needed? One in which you can act as a mediator? Or have you wronged someone and feel the need to be forgiven and have not yet found the courage to confess the wrongdoing to God in heaven and to the one who has been wronged? Or do you feel yourself aggrieved? Have you been hurt? Are you angry with someone, perhaps feeling punitive? Well, how can each of these instances be handled so that all are made whole and brought back into oneness with each other and with God? Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to a very little book near the end of the New Testament. That book is the book of Philemon. Some of you pronounce it Philemon, but I went to an authority, our pastor, and he said in his language it is Philemon, but in English it is Philemon. So we're going to call him Philemon this morning. It is just before Hebrews. It's only one chapter. It's 334 words in the Greek Testament. But it carries a big, big message. Its message is about reconciliation, about the bringing back together again of individuals estranged from each other. It is about offering forgiveness and a new beginning to someone whom the law condemned as deserving severe punishment, perhaps even death. Let's look at the background of the letter for a little while. The epistle to Philemon is one of the four prison epistles, which also include Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. These were written about 62 AD by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison in Rome. They were hand-carried by Tychicus, a companion of Paul, on a journey to the churches of Ephesus and Colossae. The epistle, or the letter to Philemon, is a personal epistle that Paul wrote to Philemon, who was a Christian in Colossae. Philemon was a convert of Paul, maybe having been converted when Paul was there in Ephesus. Philemon had a church in his home. Philemon's wife and his son were also ministers in the church. One of the things that we learn about Philemon is that he was a slave owner. And this was not unusual in the Christian church at that time. There were a number of people who were slave owners. Philemon had many slaves, and among them was a man whose name was Onesimus. Onesimus had either robbed or in some other way harmed or wronged his master and had escaped. If you have turned to the book of Philemon, if we look at verse 11, it says that which in time past was to thee unprofitable. This is Paul writing to Philemon saying, I recognize that this slave that you had at one time was unprofitable to you. Like many runaway slaves, Philemon had gone to Rome, probably to lose himself there amid the masses of people. Just how he encountered Paul there is uncertain. We aren't sure of what it was. Maybe he went looking for Paul. Maybe he knew that Paul was in prison. Maybe he went looking for the Christian community because he knew that these people would help him. But however it happened, Onesimus was changed by his encounter with Paul. Verses 10 to 12 says, verses 10 and 12 says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Onesimus was not to begin with a Christian, but once he came in contact with Paul, he was converted. Verse 12 says, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. He had become so close to Paul that Paul considered him having given birth to Onesimus. Because Onesimus was so intrigued and so blessed by what he learned from Paul, he was converted. And after he was converted, he made up his mind that he wanted to go back and ask for a pardon from Philemon, because he knew then that he had wronged Philemon. His conscience was awakened to his responsibility to repent and make as much restitution as he could. Paul would have liked to have kept him there, but because he knew that if he went back to Philemon, that he could possibly face death if he had been caught on the way. It became increasingly clear, though, that he could not continue to work for Christ until his debt back in Colossae had been paid. He must return to Philemon. Paul counseled him to do so without delay, to make his apology in the hope that things would be set right. Now, what is Paul doing? Paul here is acting as the mediator. Paul is acting as the go-between between Onesimus and Philemon. Paul has taken Onesimus under his wings, and Paul has said to him that now that you are a Christian, that you need to make things right, because Philemon is your brother, and we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and you need to make sure that you have the forgiveness from Philemon before you can do anything in service of the Lord. He was making sure now that that one who had perpetrated the wrong was going to ask forgiveness from the one he had wronged. Onesimus had already made it right with God, but it was necessary now for him to make it right with Philemon. What was he going to do? There's a story that is told about near the close of the battle in the Civil War. A young man was found dying on the battlefield. A soldier stopped to render him assistance, and as he moistened his lips and made his head rest easier, the dying man said, my father is a man of large wealth in Detroit, and if I have strength, I will write him a note, and he will repay you for your kindness. Well, he was able to write the letter. And the letter he wrote said, "Dear Father, the bearer of this letter made my last moments easier and helped me to die. Receive him and help him for Charlie's sake." The war ended, and the soldier in tattered garments sought out the father in Detroit. The father refused to see him at first on account of his wretched appearance. But the stranger said, "I have a note for you in which you will be interested." He handed him the little soiled piece of paper, and when the great man's eyes fell on the name and on the handwriting, all was instantly changed. He drew his arms about the soldier and drew him close to his heart and put at his disposal everything that wealth could make possible for him to possess. It was the name that made the difference. And so it was with the letter that Paul had given to Onesimus to take to Philemon. It was Paul's name, and it was Paul's entreaty that was going to make the difference between reconciliation or not reconciliation. Once Philemon understood that it was Paul who was interceding, then he would be more likely to receive Onesimus back as his brother in Christ. This letter has been hailed as masterful in its tact, in its sensitivity, and in its skillful handling of a difficult situation. Ellen White says that Paul knew that Philemon was greatly incensed because of the conduct of his servant. Paul also mentions that he had heard of Philemon's service in the church and his witnessing. But did he hear that Philemon was angry at Onesimus' runaway, at the fact that Onesimus had run away? Or did Paul simply know intuitively that anyone who had been wronged would be angry? I don't know if we can place ourselves in the position of Philemon having a slave that ran away, but all of us at one time or another have been wronged by someone at some time. And we have had those feelings that we have been unjustly done, and we want some kind of revenge. We want something to happen to that person who has wronged us. Paul says, "I recognize," he says to Philemon, "I recognize that you have a right to be angry, but I want you to understand that Onesimus now is no longer the same person that he was when he left, that Onesimus has been changed, that Onesimus has accepted Christ the same way that you have accepted Christ, that Onesimus is now your brother in Christ. And this is one of the reasons why you should accept him back and forgive him. This is one of the reasons why there should be reconciliation." What does Paul do in the letter, this little 334-word letter that he sends to Philemon? What he does is what we should do if we are acting as mediators between two people who have a disagreement between themselves. The first thing is that he expresses respect, love, and affection. When he writes this letter to Philemon, he shows his love and affection to Philemon. He calls Philemon his beloved. He calls him a fellow worker. He thanks God for him. He does all of these things in this little letter. So if we are acting as mediators, we should use Paul as an example. We should make sure that we show respect, love, and affection to the person who has been wronged. Paul also gives genuine affirmation and appreciation to Philemon. Philemon was widely known for his giving of alms to people and for his helping of people. So in this little letter, what Paul does is to say, "I recognize that you have given alms. I recognize your magnanimity. I recognize that you are a good person. So he is able now to kind of work on Philemon to make sure that he understands that Paul respects and has love and affection for him. Paul had authority to order Philemon to take Onesimus back. But what would have happened if Paul says, you have to take Philemon back? I mean, you have to take Onesimus back. Probably Philemon would have gotten high on his horse, if you will, and said, nobody is going to tell me what I have to do. But Paul appeals to him on the basis of love. He says that we know how you love other people. We know how you have shown this love. So on the basis of that love, you must accept that you're this person back, not as a slave, but now as a brother. And Paul goes on to say, you love me and I love you, so please accept Onesimus back. Do you know, as I asked before, of a situation where you can be a mediator? If you do know of that situation, then you can act as Paul acted in this letter to Philemon. You can express appreciation. You can show love. But please don't try to command. Let the person be willing to reconcile or reconcile with the individual who is at fault. Paul reflects the great intercessor, and our great intercessor is Jesus Christ. When he is making this letter, he does not compare his intercession for Onesimus with that of Christ for sinners, but in the letter we can see his efforts in the arena of human relationships as a type of Christ's work as a mediator between God and us. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. And who is that? It is the man, Christ Jesus. Paul's work as an intercessor also shows us how God uses his people, how God uses us as helpers to bring about the reconciliation of one human being to another. Paul acts as an advocate. Look in verses 9 and 10, and you see the word beseech. Beseech here is the same word that, it comes from the same root word as the names given to the Holy Spirit in John 14:26, and that is as comforter. It is the same word that is used in 1 John 2:1 for Jesus, and that is an advocate, one that is called alongside, one that is there to help, one that is there to aid. If you are acting as a mediator, then you should be a comforter and an advocate to that person who has been wronged and to the one who has done the wrongdoing. Paul says to Philemon, if he, and that is if Onesimus, has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Acts of the Apostles says, how fitting an illustration of the love of Christ for the repentant sinner. The servant who had defrauded his master had nothing with which to make restitution. The sinner who has robbed God of years of service has no means of canceling the debt. Jesus interposes between the sinner and God, saying, I will pay the debt. Let the sinner be spared. I will suffer in his stead. So Paul is acting as a type of Christ when he is a mediator here. He's saying, I will repay any debt that Onesimus has to you. And what did Christ do for us? He paid it all. He paid the debt for each one of us. And so if we are acting as a mediator, we need to be able to say to the one who has been wronged, if the person does not do what he is supposed to do, if he does not pay you back, then I will stand in his stead. I will take his place. I would ask you to charge it to me. There is one thing that we need to recognize when we come to reconciliation, that there are two levels of reconciliation. There is the objective reconciliation and there is the subjective reconciliation. The objective reconciliation is one that Paul, Onesimus, Philemon, you or I have nothing to do with. That is the reconciliation that Jesus has already paid the price for. If we are Christians, then we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And who made that possible? We've been talking about this in our Sabbath school lesson. It is Jesus who has broken down that inner wall of partition and brought us all together as one. And if Jesus has paid it all, if Jesus has made us sisters and brothers in Christ, how can we say that I will not reconcile with somebody else? I will not forgive. Because Jesus has forgiven each one of us. Each one of us is a sinner. And Jesus has paid that price so each one of us can be forgiven and have the opportunity to have eternal life. So this is the plea that Paul makes to Philemon. When Onesimus left you, he says he left you as a slave. But now he has been converted, and he is now your brother. Look at verses 15 and 16, where Paul continues with his plea. He said, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. In other words, now he's coming back to you. He has been saved. He is now a brother in Christ, and you need to accept him as a brother in Christ. Jesus has paid on the cross for all of us, so that reconciliation, that subjective reconciliation, can take place. He has made the objective reconciliation. He has paid that total price. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 says, he carried our sorrows. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Paul, in effect, says to Philemon, as John said in 1 John 4:11, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And Paul is just not speaking to Philemon there. He's speaking to each one of us. And I'm saying to each of us, to all of us, and I'm saying to myself too, if there is someone whom you have wronged, or if there's someone who has wronged you, then there needs to be a subjective reconciliation, because the objective reconciliation has already taken place. Jesus has acted as our mediator. He is our advocate, and that reconciliation can take place. What needs to be done in order for reconciliation to take place? There are six steps. One of them is that we must choose to love again. And that is the responsibility of each of the individuals. There must be a choice to love again. The heart must be prepared. This is a time for meditation, for Bible study, and for prayer. It is a time for confession of one's own personal need of grace. Number three, there must be communication. There cannot be any kind of reconciliation unless there is communication, unless the parties are talking to each other. And usually there needs to be an intermediary. There needs to be a mediator. And this is the part that Paul played, and this is the part that we can play too. We can mediate between those people who want to get back together again. There must be a loving confrontation. We usually have a denotation of the word confrontation, but we can take it in its connotative means, and we can lovingly go to the other person and ask for forgiveness. But again, there sometimes needs to be an extra person, that one in the middle. There must be the forgiveness, of course, of one another, and then there needs to be that rebuilding of trust. What happened to Onesimus and Philemon? The journey from Rome to Colossae in those days was a long and difficult one, and we can imagine that as Onesimus was on his way back to Philemon, that it was kind of hard for him thinking about what was going to happen once he got to Philemon. What is he going to say? How is he going to present himself to Philemon? What is going to happen once he gets there? Will Philemon be amenable to reconciliation? But do you know what he had? He had in his pocket that little letter that Paul had given him. And so in my mind's eye, I can see that every once in a while he might have put his hand into his pocket and felt that letter that he had and say, okay, Philemon might not receive me, but he will receive this letter that Paul has sent along with me. And so I can go back confident that he will listen at least because of what Paul has said. We don't know what happened once they got together. We don't know how the reconciliation took place. But the fact that we have this letter in God's word shows that there must have been a reconciliation. We have the very message that Paul sent to Philemon. As I said, we don't know what happened once they got back there, but we do know that there was a reconciliation. Today, we are all, in one way or another, wrapped up in the drama of this little letter, insofar as it symbolizes our standing before God. We can rejoice at the really good news that we have been welcomed home. We no longer are slaves, but we have been adopted into the family of God. And that is through the ministry of Jesus Christ, through his reconciling blood. God accepts us as his beloved son. But you know, in another sense, we play out these characters in our families and in our relationships. Some of us are like Paul, trying very hard to mediate the difficulties between people we love. We feel frustrated sometimes, confused or disappointed by our lack of results. Perhaps the most important things for us to remember from the letter to Philemon are that we can keep on loving both sides, and we can continue to appeal for peace. In the realm of relationships, we cannot force or coerce. We must leave the choice to reconcile with the individuals themselves. Some of us may be like Onesimus, perhaps still running, feeling guilty, longing to repent and be reconciled. The experience of Onesimus can fortify us with courage to confess our wrongs and seek reconciliation with our God and with those whom we have wronged in our families and elsewhere. So if you have done someone an ill deed, don't keep running. Find a way to have God to forgive you and have that person to forgive. And then some of us may be in Philemon's position today. We have been wronged. The hurt runs deep. No offense is ever minor, but perhaps the damage has been very extensive. You may feel angry, upset, even punitive. You might want to take some revenge. There may have been some small gestures of repentance, but maybe not. What do you do when there have not been any gestures? Perhaps the repentance seems insincere. You don't know what to do, but the situation is eating you alive. What is the remedy? Today, the God of Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon understands. Through Christ, God has entered the human arena and become familiar with our pain. Because of Christ, God has committed himself to the process of restoring damaged relationships. We can trust in the surety of the reconciliation between earth and heaven, between ourselves and God. As we put our earthly human relationships in his hands, he will surely lead us to know more fully the freeing experience of forgiveness, and if it is at all possible, the renewal of reconciliation. So whether you are Paul, whether you are Onesimus, whether you are Philemon, it all needs to be placed in God's hands because Jesus has already paid it all. Let us pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you understood from the very beginning that there were going to be broken relationships. And thank you that from the very beginning that you had made the way for these broken relationships to be reconciled, for all us all to come back together as one. And we can come together through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is because of him that now, anytime that there is a breach in a relationship, we need to understand that forgiveness is available because we have been forgiven and we need to forgive each other. So help us today to recognize the situation, recognize that we can be either a Paul, either a Philemon, or an Onesimus, but in each case, Jesus has paid the price. Jesus has paid it all. And to that we say thank you, and we give you all of the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.